What's up, dirtbags? Welcome to episode 258 of the Midwest Angler Podcast. I'm Scott Sturman, and I am joined, as always, by Matt Deitch. Matt, what's going on?
Oh, you know, just trying to not get blown away up here.
Winter is back.
Winter is back.
And I'm sick and tired of it. We're only like 3 days into the third winter of the year, and I've had enough.
Right. At least we're to the point now where it's not like the lakes are going to ice back up.
No.
Ice over, and, you know, we're not in that limbo. At least we got out of that limbo stage this year. You know, we went right from ice fishing to open water in about a week.
Right.
And that, we didn't hang on to it for like a month or so.
Yeah. You know, the worst part about it is like today, even like, I think it got to like 31 degrees today, but sitting outside is like, holy moly, is it cold. And right. I think we got our thin blood back again.
We did.
You know, I mean,
we had that week where it was about like, you know, above 50 into the 60s. Even that one day was close to 80.
I was wearing shorts. Right. Like, I was wearing shorts when I'd get off work. I'd come home, I'd flip into shorts and a t-shirt, and I was outside playing around with Slade on the power wheels and whatnot. And I think just like that. Well, then I went on vacation, of course, too. Yeah. My blood thinned out. I had shed my winter coat, and I'm back. It's back to winter now.
I started riding bike outside again and running, and it was just like, now it's kind of like, nah, I don't think you need to do that anymore when it's just chilly.
Nope. I'm officially sick and tired of that crap, but yeah, I guess it is what it is. This week's episode 258 brought to you by our good friends over at Dakota Angler in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. See Josh, Todd, the whole entire crew up on the north side of Sioux Falls. Josh, I talked to Josh today. He mentioned that they got a big order of walleye assassins in today. Fluger Tryons, $20 to $30 off. If you are looking for a new reel, Fluger Tryons are the freaking 870 of shotguns. You know, it's just a plain old good reel. You know, normally they got a good price on them. Now they're even on sale. You know, they're, are they the best in the whole entire world? No, but I mean, really, truly, for the price, they are. I mean, one of the best.
For those savings, you could pair it up with a nice like ultralight rod for some panfish and have yourself one nice combo there.
Heck yeah!
I was up there the other day on Friday. We didn't have school, so I swung in there and talked to the fellas working. Josh obviously wasn't working. But I did.
He isn't even when he's in there.
I'm walking around the store, and pretty soon I get a text message, and here's a picture of me walking around on the security cam. So he was working, but he wasn't working, I guess.
Working from home.
Yeah.
Working from home security.
But I did see that they
Josh
had like,
is from home security.
They did have their polarized sunglasses on sale. Like,
oh, really?
Really good sales. I think like the Costa Del Mars were like 20% off or something like that. The Relevant sunglasses were like even maybe.
Do they got Relevant?
Yeah, they do.
Kidding.
They had some there, and they were actually like really, really slashed the prices were. And we've talked about, you know, the benefits of having a good, nice polarized set of sunglasses.
I won't go without them.
No, neither will I. I actually, a couple days ago, I stopped down at the river and I forgot to put mine on for my truck. And I was like, oh man, this kind of sucks. I better walk back and get them. But I mean, not only for like the glare and everything like that and helping see into the water, but just for safety reasons too. So if you ever like get, you know, snagged up or you're fighting a fish and they spit that jig right close to the boat, it comes whipping up. It's good for protecting those eyes. So they got a good sale on them right now. Stop in there and see those guys. They got all their open water stuff out, and it's cool to see all the new items that are, you know, out there this year.
Yep. You know, to dive back into sunglasses there, I was always one of these people that couldn't wear sunglasses. Like, I always wanted to be a sunglass wearer, and I had bought a pair of Oakleys at one point in time, and you know, I'd buy them and just couldn't really ever get myself to wear them. but I had never had polarized lenses, and I don't know if that's what the difference is, but I got a set of Costas, and I don't think it makes any difference if they're relevant or if they're Costa or whatever. You know, sunglasses are sunglasses. I get that there's going to be some people that are like, no, they're not, you know, they're whatever. I don't care. That's not what this is about. But I'm telling you, like, now I can't go without my sunglasses. Like, I literally, in my 1 mile drive home from work, I'll throw my sunglasses on. And, you know, if I'm outside and there's any bit of sun, I just throw my sunglasses on. And I don't know. I can't go without them. Like, I just can't. So
it's tough.
You know, if I went on vacation and I forgot my sunglasses, I'm not kidding you, I'd go buy a new pair, like, right now. I wouldn't even consider.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about.
I don't know if I could make it through a freaking weekend in the summer without them. It just, kind of wild how that works. But, whatever.
Got some good deals on them.
Get up there to Dakota Angler, check out what they got, and get yourself a new set of shades going into summertime.
Yeah, they got, I saw the Kalen's slip bobber set up for, like, power bobbin for walleyes, using the forward-facing sonar stuff. They have a kit for those, which is kind of cool now, some cool colors. Just everything you need. You know, just everything you need up there. You'll be surprised at what their selection is when you walk into that store.
Yep. Heck yeah. And if you can't get up there, if you're not from the area and you want to check it out, www.dakotaangler.com. Use code DIRTBAG at checkout and stretch that dollar.
That's right.
Stretch that dollar.
Stretch that dollar.
Matt, I got a question for you before we get into a fishing podcast. This is a non-fishing related question. I don't know if you've ever listened to the Midwest Angler podcast, but I always like to get these episodes started with a couple non-fishing related questions.
I was.
You ever heard that?
I had to sit through one of them, the first episode, couple weeks ago. So
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, we were held against our will.
Yep. So I'm blind.
You're blind.
Yep. Imagine that. Okay. I'm blind.
All right.
I want you to describe the color yellow to me.
Oh, man.
Describe the color yellow to me, but I'm blind.
Wow.
So you got to describe it to me.
Describe the color yellow.
Yep.
I don't know how you describe a color, especially to a blind person. You can't say banana because they don't know what a banana looks like. Oh, man. I don't know.
Maybe. Is there a way to do it?
Maybe if they close their eyes really tight.
Okay, got my eyes closed.
And then kind of bring them back up. Obviously, you can't open them all the way, but you kind of see stars sometimes. Maybe, I don't know, maybe if you do or maybe if you don't. You got to squeeze them real tight and then open them. I don't know. That's what yellow looks like. I don't know how I'd describe it to a blind person. Yellow. I don't know. How do you?
I don't know. I saw it on Facebook.
You saw it on Facebook. So you're like, dropping these bombs on me. How do I describe it? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is there a way to describe a color?
I don't know. The other day I drove by a deaf person and I honked and waved at him, and I was just kind of like, wait a minute. I don't know if they were. I honked at him.
did they look?
They didn't look. I was like, man, they must be in a crabby mood. Well, they didn't hear me honk. Huh. You ever do that?
Well, I know for sure they're not listening to this
when
show.
When I played fast pitch softball, like 18 and under, we were at a tournament up in Sioux Falls, and my dad used to ump all the time up there for years.
Are you going to get our show canceled with this story?
No, there was a umpire named Willard up there, and he was deaf. So, you know, he couldn't hear anything like that. So it was always fun listening to guys argue with him. Like trying to argue his calls or yelling out there like, oh, that wasn't a strike. Oh, come on, Blue. What are you doing?
He's just ignoring him.
I look at him like, are you serious right now? And they'd be like, what? That was a bad call. I'm like, but no, like he can't hear what you're saying. So, I mean.
Yell louder.
Yell louder. Yep. So that was always kind of comical.
He can't hear yells, but he can hear whispers. Try that. Yeah.
No, yeah. I don't know how I would describe the color yellow to a blind person.
All right. Well, fair enough.
Right.
Now, Matt, we're kind of in that in-between stage right now.
We are.
Obviously, ice fishing is done. I'm not saying that you couldn't get out and do some open water fishing. We've had a couple of nice days here in the last couple of weeks that a guy definitely could have gotten out, and I know some people have.
Right.
But
people been catching. I mean, it's hard to do it without like a real stable weather pattern.
Right. But you know, now we're kind of dipping back into real March weather. You know, there's a chance of snow this coming weekend. We've got all that. What do you do to pass the time in between? Like, are you much for YouTube videos? I mean, do you read any magazines? I used to be really big into the YouTube fishing, and I mean, I'm not knocking any of those guys, but I don't know why. I've kind of lost touch with it.
It comes in spurts for me too. Yeah. Like on YouTube, I guess it comes down to time sometimes too. Like,
yeah,
a person gets kind of busy this time of year, and you know, with the time change, you want to do some things outside. You know, this is this time of year where you're starting to get the yard ready to go and all that stuff. You're hoping it grows, but at the same time, you're hoping it doesn't grow so you don't have to mow three times a week. You know, I'll catch some stuff on TV, like with the Bass Live and everything. I'll tune into that sometimes. I turn that on the weight room in the mornings whenever there's a tournament. Kids kind of actually seem to enjoy it. They watch it quite often. But other than that, do I watch a lot of YouTube videos? I don't. I might like catch some like some of the short stuff instead of the longer.
That's one thing that I don't like about YouTube now that you mention it. It used to be everyone was making 10 to 15 minute videos.
Right.
Now everyone's making 27 minute videos, and I don't know if there's something to do with the algorithms or whatever that they've found that these 20 to 30 minute videos are better. But I want to sit down and I want to consume a 12 minute video.
Yeah.
And like I can't tell you how many times I scroll through YouTube and I see 12 minutes and it's like I can watch that one.
Yep.
28 minutes? Nah.
No.
Not happening.
No, I'm going to have to watch it in like segments and stuff like
I've
that.
I've got all night to do it. I just I won't do it. I don't know. I don't get it.
Well, I know what you mean. Like it's like, "Oh, 5 minutes. I got 5 minutes. I can quick watch this." And you watch it and you're like, "All right." But yeah. Some of them they get kind of be long, I guess, but I still enjoy them when I have like when I'm in the mood, but
yep.
I don't know. It's just
I find myself watching, like, I still love mule deer hunting. Like, if there was an activity that in my mind I would feel like I love the most, I think I almost love mule deer hunting more than I love fishing. And that's kind of weird because I only get to do it for about 5 days a whole entire year. But that's
the thing because it is. That's what makes things so special.
Yeah, and that's probably
why
I love it.
We've talked about this before. Like, sometimes that carrot dangling out in front of you is what like just motivates you and makes you love something. We always relate it to like youth sports or something like that. When you're playing it all year round, it's not really that special anymore. And it's just kind of like, kind of becomes monotonous. Like when I grew up, it was like, when it was this season, it's that season. So you go hard for it. You get after it. And then that's it. You move on to something else because you feel the same way about that.
Right.
I mean, I guess that's just kind of the way it goes with like the hunting and stuff like that too. Like that is one nice thing about having seasons sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
you're
like
right on
when,
that.
When it's just like, okay, like we only got so many days to do it. So like we got to go and we do. And also it kind of helps give you that excuse to like your significant other. It's just like, hey, you know, it's like there's only a couple weeks of it left, so I got to go.
Right,
you know, I got to
right.
go. You know? So it's like, oh, okay. And that helps with the honey to-do list, too, sometimes, too. It's like, hey, you know, here in a couple weeks, it's over. I don't have to do it. So then you can kind of justify saying, all right, you know, there's like that time in between, well, let's just say right now, pheasant season, stuff like that, that's over. Now you got a few months between that and turkey season, if you have a turkey.
Yep.
So then you're just kind of like, oh, okay, you got some time in between them. Whereas
build up fishing, some brownie points
right,
again.
Whereas fishing sometimes, I mean, in some states where there is no seasons and stuff like that, I mean, you go from, you look at the guys in South Dakota, they can go from ice fishing, all of a sudden the Missouri River is open. And
right.
You're getting the boat out and you're heading out there. And
yep. Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah.
No, I feel like the YouTube videos that I do end up watching and really engaging in and really watching are stuff that have nothing to do with what I'm actually interested in. You know, they're not fishing videos. They're not hunting videos. It's like off-the-grid Alaskan cabin right. videos or, like, just like, crazy wild stuff that I'm not truly really interested in, I don't think. But for some reason, I watch them, and it's like, holy moly, that was awesome. I've got to watch another one. And then I do, and whatever. But a couple other points of interest that I do want to talk about. Bassmaster Classic this week. If you're in our Bassmaster Fantasy group, go ahead and get your picks in. That starts on Thursday, I believe. 22nd, I think.
Is that Thursday or is it Friday? Friday,
it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I was thinking it was Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's Bassmaster Classic is a three-day tournament. So if you are in our fantasy group, don't go ahead and put down 100 and some pounds. It will not get there.
Right. Grand, on Grand Lake.
Yep, Grand Lake, not going to be a freaking, 30 pounds a day. That's just not what you're going to get there.
Even 30 pounds a day wouldn't even get you to 100 pounds. So
get you close.
It'd get you close. It'd get you close. Gonna get there. But, yeah, that's this weekend.
Who's your
the best bass fishing event in the world. I mean, there was one last weekend.
The Super Bowl of bass fishing. There was one last weekend that
nobody even really realized was going on, but we won't go there.
Because no one gives a rip.
Right. But no, the Bassmaster Classic. My dark horse pick for it.
Dark horse. It doesn't necessarily have to be a dark horse. I just want to know who your pick is. My pick for it?
I think a former guest of ours is going to do pretty well. I think Mr. J Security is going to contend for it.
I don't think you're wrong.
I just got this feeling.
I'm telling you right now, my pick, Luke Palmer.
Luke Palmer's a good option.
Colgate, Oklahoma. I believe that he probably has an idea of how to fish Grand pretty well. And Luke Palmer is a very sneaky, consistent fisherman.
Right.
He's not always in the top 10.
He's not flashy.
But he's always in the top 20 or 30. And right. I think that this is his chance to have his breakout moment. You know, he owns a hardware store in Colgate, Oklahoma. Still works there when he's not.
That's cool.
Yeah. He just, I watched a video on him one time, and he's just a regular old good dude.
Yeah, he seems like it.
I like people from Oklahoma.
Yeah, Oklahoma
people. I feel like Oklahoma's a state where, like, I could go down to Oklahoma and I could find a lot of buddies.
I think you're right. I think there's a lot of small towns in Oklahoma. That means there's a lot of, like, coffee groups. A lot that, of guys
I,
sitting
I,
at,
I was just gonna say that. Like right. I feel like I could go down there and stroll into a little town like Colgate.
There's gonna be a gas station. You're gonna go in there and there's gonna be like a side diner or something like that. And there's gonna be a bunch of old chaps that are just sitting there just hanging out, just solving the world's problems, and they're all right with somebody new coming in there and plopping down.
Yep. They prefer say, hey. If I did.
Right.
They prefer if I did.
Hey, come on down there, young fella, and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Get over here, out of towner.
Yep.
And Jeremy and I, my neighbor Jeremy Kay, we drove down to Oklahoma. We drove through Nebraska, through Kansas, and through Oklahoma. That wasn't a swear word, Mike. I was saying a state name.
Right.
But drove down to Oklahoma, and you know, like, there's a lot of nothingness when you're going through Kansas and when you're going through to the Panhandle, Guymon, Oklahoma, way up on the Panhandle. But I just kind of feel like I like it. Kind of feel like this is – those are good people around there. I feel like that's the type of place that if you're cruising down the road and you blow a tire, I'm not even worried.
No.
I'm not even worried. I wouldn't even be worried if it was my wife that blew a tire. Right. You want to know why? Because some regular dude, good dude, is going to pull up behind and be like, hey, what you got going? I got a flat tire. And they're going to say, no problem. I got tools right back here. Or, oh, I live right up the road, which that's a dangerous thing right up the road in those parts. Could be an hour and a half. But you're going to get your tire fixed. That's what I'm trying to say here. Yeah. So, I think when you get into that type of country, just good people, I like Oklahoma. It might be in my top five favorite states. Maybe and I only ever been there once.
Maybe. Well, you think it's too late to drive down there this weekend?
You know, that we honestly, we made a mistake by not doing that. Like, it's close. Tulsa, Oklahoma is not really far away. Not far away. If we could, we wake up 4 a.m., 5 a.m., get on the road, you can get down to Tulsa by mid-afternoon. And I mean, you get some miles
behind
it. What
is it, like a...
Eight hours, something like that.
Really, not much further than the Black Hills, really.
No.
When you think about it, a couple hours past.
No
Black
time
Hills,
change,
so.
I don't think, going down
and
there.
I suppose you can interstate a lot of it. So
yeah, let me see here.
Get you down there. No, that would be. We did make a mistake. Maybe we should have.
I ventured down to the classic this year. I thought about it here a while back.
Think we get
9 hours, 6 minutes.
Hours? You think we could get some press passes?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I'd
walk around the boatyard, and
we don't even need press passes. We'll just put on some Midwest Angler Podcast T-shirts, and like when you walk up, and they kind of look at you looking for your credentials.
Yep, they'll give us the old sea bass. They'll be like, "Yep."
Yeah,
over here, dude, they'll give us just that finger wave.
If they even attempt to stop you, you just look at them like, "Who the are you?" Like,
let me talk to your manager.
Yeah, do you not know who we are?
Right, and they'd be like, "Oh, okay, you're good to go."
Like, you see those guys over there? We're with them. We're with the. We're their bosses.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Jeez. Do you like your job?
My
luck, about just lost it.
My luck, I would try to do that to the head honcho and be like, "Oh, my
no,
bad.
Actually, I'm their bun.
Actually, I'm
turns out
bosses.
I'm your boss." Then.
Yeah, it's like, "Oh, sorry, I'll get back to work."
Centralized School Board, check it out. Jeez,
yeah, I don't know who
those people are.
I'll flash my school ID.
Yeah. All right, March Madness also this weekend.
Yep.
Which if there's one problem with the Bassmaster Classic going on this week, it's you know, the first week of March Madness. That's a lot of games going on, and I get that you know, people that love bass fishing don't always love basketball, vice versa, whatever. But like guys like Jason Christie, big basketball fans, and I don't know. I just can't help but to think that that deep down they're kind of like, you know, I wouldn't mind doing a little bit of that basketball watching. I love college basketball. I'm going to cancel my cable as soon as March Madness is done for the year, but that's what I do. I turn it on when Iowa Hawkeye football starts.
Right.
Turn it off as soon as March Madness is done. But, you know, then you start getting summertime. We're not spending any time in the house anyways. And so, whatever the case, March Madness, you got a sleeper pick for that, or haven't you really even paid attention?
I haven't really dove into it, but my sleeper pick for that, let's go with, I'm trying to think like what
are you're thinking about picking Iowa State, aren't you?
No.
They don't suck.
No, that's one of the better Iowa State teams that have been out there for a while.
Nope.
But, UConn is the overall number one, so I don't like to pick them.
I think Houston might be the overall. Well, no, UConn.
UConn is.
Houston just lost Iowa State.
Right. Nah, I don't know. At this point right now, I don't know who my dark horse would be.
I'm telling you right now, Tennessee's going to win it.
Tennessee's
going to win it, and I'll tell you who's going to shock a couple people, and that's Nebraska.
They've been playing well.
They have been. They've got an Iowa boy at the helm.
Right.
The old, what the heck is his name?
Fred Hoiberg.
Yeah. Yep. You know, obviously he was an old, Iowa State dude, thought that he was going to move on to bigger and better things in Chicago, Illinois, and that didn't pan out for him. Back there coaching at Nebraska. I'm telling you, that dude, he can coach some basketball.
Oh, he definitely can. He's had success everywhere he's went.
He should go like six hours to the east, but
right, yeah, no kidding about that.
No one heard me say that. So
let's see here. I'll quick look here and see the bracket.
I don't know if we could go online and make a group of NCAA brackets, or if I kind of looked at ESPN today. I don't know if there's a way to make groups like that, but whatever.
All right, you picked yours as far as who you're like. Surprise team is going to be?
My surprise team? I just think...
Said Nebraska?
I think Nebraska is going to surprise. They're not going to win it.
Right.
But they're going to win a couple games.
I think Illinois is going to surprise a lot of people.
Really? Okay.
They got a couple of top tier people.
Yeah, they can play good basketball.
Let's see here. Let's go with, man, I don't know who's going to. I'll just throw Baylor out there.
Baylor?
Yep.
Okay. The other dark horse that's going to win a game or two that no one's thinking about, Grand Canyon.
Yeah, they actually are. I mean,
they'll play basketball. Yeah, that's a good team right there.
They got a couple of studly guys on their team, and they can get after. They got some height and everything too.
Yep. You heard it here first. Don't act surprised in a week or two from now. God dang it, I just probably jinxed them both. But Nebraska and Grand Canyon, that's my bold prediction.
There you go.
So, all right, we actually got a guest on today. I know we're a ways in, but our good friend Biggie is going to join the show. If you are in the Sioux Falls area at all and involved in fishing, you've probably ran across Biggie a time or two. Whether it be at a boat ramp or whether it be at a fishing show or something, if you've ever met him once, you know who he is. That's just the way Biggie is. One of the all-time greats. But we're going to get Biggie on and chat a little bit with him. And Biggie's our guest today. Biggie, how you doing?
Fantastic.
Biggie, if you've listened to the show at all, you know we like to get started with a couple of random questions. So I want to know what your favorite kind of buffalo wings are, chicken wings.
They'd have to be Stubby's boneless.
Boneless and what?
Parmesan.
Parmesan?
Parmesan.
Yep.
Okay, but you're
the
boneless.
Dry, not the liquid.
Okay.
Not the saucy stuff, the dry.
The dry rub.
So the dry rub.
Yep. And
said beverage would wash it down just great.
You you a ranch or a blue cheese guy?
Not really.
Not really. Okay.
Clean up.
Ranch has its own category for lettuce.
That's a salad dressing, huh? Not a dipping sauce.
That's right. It's not a dipping sauce. It's a salad dressing.
Well, you can be like my brother, and he dang near put frickin' ranch on his ice cream, ranch on pizza, ranch on wings,
everything.
Ranch.
Oh, man. I know he's your brother, but I wonder about him someday.
We all do.
I appreciate you for finally seeing things the way I see them. Yep.
All right. I guess my question is going to be, what's your favorite breakfast food?
Well, I love waking up right now with protein shakes.
Protein?
Chocolate protein shakes right now.
Wow.
You used to be a get the donut at the gas station on your way to work, but then, good old Ma put a stop to that. So we are, protein shake, chocolate protein shake, and then you take it and you dump coffee in it.
Oh,
okay.
There you go.
Okay.
Little protein coffee.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, protein coffee. That sounds like it could be an explosive ending there if you're not careful.
Well, I haven't had a bad ending yet.
Just started this morning, but
it's been ongoing for like 3 weeks now.
Nice. That's awesome.
Nice.
So we're just trying to do something right, not wrong.
That's right. All we can do.
That's right.
Now, Biggie, let's talk a little bit about you now. Where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Okay.
Yeah, born and raised here in South Dakota.
Okay. And then you actually spent a little bit of time over here in Rock Rapids. We don't have to dive too far into that, but you did live here.
That's an annulment stage, and we don't have to talk about that right now.
That's a chapter in his life that he's kind of moved on from, and really, it's kind of a dark place.
If I would have met you guys when I was down there, I think I would have been staying there.
Yeah, you could have stuck it out, huh?
Yeah, I could have stuck it out with the great camaraderie you guys have. You know, if I was down there, with you guys, I probably would have stuck. Maybe by myself with you guys.
Well, we probably would have all gotten in a heck of a lot more trouble.
That's right.
Well, I don't know about that.
So has fishing been something that you've done your whole entire life, Biggie?
Yep, I was started when I was a kid. My grandpa took me fishing into the Soldier Field, Soldier River down in Mapleton, Iowa. Okay. And that's when it all started.
And did he live down there?
Yeah, he lived in Mapleton, Iowa.
Okay.
And catching catfish and bullheads and the soul, and it was just awesome. It just, I started out using worms and stink bait.
Yep.
And that's all it took, and must have caught all kinds of fish. I'm so sick of bullheads and catfish. I'm so glad there's other species around. When you're a kid growing up, oh man.
But there's got to be a little piece of you that is like, in the springtime, it's like, man, it'd be kind of fun to grab the old pole and some night crawlers and just go out there and catch a few bullheads for old time's sake.
Yeah, in the springtime, yeah, I guess I could do that.
Yeah.
But after June, July, no way.
Right. No, I hear that.
So how old were you when you were fishing with your grandpa?
I was like 4 years old.
Oh, yeah. Just a little biggie.
Yeah, just a little biggie. I was a smallie instead of a biggie back then.
Yeah.
And I had a great time fishing. I think the best time was when I was with my brother and my grandpa. And you know how you clean bullheads? You got to cut the heads off and tails.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that was the farthest part of it for me, but not so much my brother. It was so fun watching that catfish be cleaned, and yeah, it was so enticing. My brother screamed bloody murder after we had to clean it.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
After then, it just took into my blood. I was a catfish killer then.
Yeah,
that's right.
So did you fish all the way through school then, or did you have a spot in your life where you kind of got out of it for a while?
I fished throughout school in the summers. My mom would take me down to Big Sioux River. We lived on the east side of Sioux Falls. And I think we went down there and caught carp when I was like every summer until I was like 13, 14 years old.
Yep.
Yeah. And then we'd go camping and do occasional fishing. And it didn't start taking off until I started working at a grocery store with a bunch of guys that we'd go out to the river every weekend we could, or every Saturday and Sunday would be our days off when we were in management at the grocery store. And I remember fishing the river from all the way from Platte all the way up to Hawaii 1 year.
Really?
Wow.
In the boat.
Yep.
Yep. And yeah, every chance we got, we were out there.
Yeah.
And the earliest we've ever been fishing was in February. It was February 7th, and there were still ice breakups on the Missouri River. And it was foggy, and we were fishing. We must have caught a limit of walleye. There were three of us. So that was the most earliest river fishing I've ever done.
But yeah, then it took forging off the from river. There and,
what's that?
Forging the river.
Yep.
Like the Titanic. There. Watch out for them icebergs.
Yep. We didn't sink. We just had fun. Yeah. But yeah, so that's when I started off when I was in high school and meeting some guys, and then it took off until I got to, river. I think I fished every body of water until I got married when I was 23 on the eastern side of South Dakota.
Really?
Yeah. It was before bitter was popular and before, Wabe was phenomenal. But I think we fished a lot of the east, mostly the eastern side of South Dakota.
Yep. And when did you start ice fishing?
It wasn't until I was about 26.
Okay.
I started ice fishing over at Boji. I started. Oh no, I take that back. The guys that went to the river fishing, we would go in ice shacks, homemade ice shacks down to Lake Alvin or to Island Lake in South Dakota.
Yep.
And we would go fishing there. And I remember using a tear drop, my very first lure I've ever, fished with. It was a teardrop that looked like a perch eye. And I was like, that was a very thing that when it fluttered down the hole, you could see the bottom. And that's when I just said, are you serious right now? We're sitting here and that thing's down there. And then, yeah, all of a sudden the fish came. It was on Island Lake with Dave Troffler, I guess, my buddy from, yeah, he lives up in Watertown now. But, yeah, that was the very first time I ever ice fished. And I've gone ice fishing many a times, I guess, when I was, back in high school.
Yeah, got you hooked then.
But my first tournament fishing, it was over at when Ryan Hale was doing it over in Okoboji.
And, those old Emerson Bay tournaments. That's when you were
old
doing
Emerson Bay stands bait and tackle.
Yep. Recycled fish.
Recycled fish. Yeah.
Yep.
I just remember those shirts that they say, "If of course it's freezing out here, we use small sticks." Or how did that say?
Yeah, something like that.
Of course, yeah. Our sticks are small. It's freezing out here, or something like that.
Yep. Huh. Fatigue. That was Teej's.
So you've been fishing Okoboji bluegill tournaments for a long dang time, that's how my brother and I first ever met you. My brother and Blair Wilson signed up for one of Ryan's tournaments and got over there, and obviously you were the loudest guy at the rules meeting. And I'm also somebody that pretty hard to shut up, so I think it was just kind of one of those deals where you and I were meant to get into a conversation. You won it that year. Blair got second in big fish, but you won the dang thing.
Yeah, Blair had that biggest bluegill that must have been a pound.
Yeah, it was a big fish.
Yeah, I was like sitting on that hot seat forever, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going on here? And then my buddy's like calling his wife, nah, he's sitting there, and he's like, nah, he'll get off. And then Blair comes up with this big-ass bluegill, and second place, he got that second place, and I was like, no way, I'm done.
Yeah.
Nope, that was the biggest fish you caught. I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And I told Blair that day, I go, you better mount that fish.
He did.
Yep, and he got her done.
Yep.
We all kind of were like, you got to get it mounted. Like,
oh my gosh.
Just the story behind it and everything.
Yep, it was fun.
Was that the super, super cold days?
It was.
Like, yes, stupid was cold. Oh, my gosh. I remember going up there and pre-fishing, me, Blair, and Eric. And Zach Cox.
Yep.
Zach Cox was up on that one. And we got out there to pre-fish, and it was miserable. Like, absolutely miserable cold. And Eric stumbled onto that spot, and he dropped down, and he caught like two 9.5-inch bluegills, and he's like, "Dude, there's a ton more down there." And it was like
he was using the camera too.
Yeah, he might. Yep, I think he dropped that camera down, caught two good bluegills, and we kind of sat around, and it was like, well, the more we kind of just sit on this spot, the more everyone else, that's pre-fishing out here is going to know too. So we packed up and we went out to eat that night, and the next morning we all got to that area, and I think Eric ended up getting third or fourth, fifth place that year. He got a trophy.
Yeah,
he got a plaque, and Blair.
He was like fifth, I thought.
Fifth, and I think Reuter was up there, but
I was fishing right beside Reuter, and he's like, and after he got done, I was like, hey, I was like right beside him. I go, what'd you do? He goes, oh, I did all right. And he goes, and I was like, well, I did all right too. And we got to sitting at the thing, and I was like, dude, no way, I'm still sitting here, and you're going by me, dude. What happened?
Right.
We fished like 10 feet. No, it was like 15 feet from each other, and I was on fish, and he was on fish, and I was like, and then I saw Blair and you, and everybody's like stacked up in that area.
Yep.
And then it was just a matter of
who was going to have the good fish come by him, because I did not. Zach ended up fishing out a little bit farther, and then he ended up coming in closer and whatever. Zach and I both kind of struggled that day, but Blair and Eric did well, and obviously you and Reuter did well, but whatever the case, you know, that was really the first time I ever met you, and now I feel like I run into you every 2 weeks somewhere, whether it's at a bait shop or whether it's out on the ice or whatever. So kind of wild that you go that long without knowing each other, and now we got you on the podcast.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yep.
I'm just trying to think of, that was a good time that time. Yeah. It's been an awesome time fishing with you guys. And I know Matt, he's been out, and when you're not there and I'm there, and then, you know, it's kind of just great to get out there. And I mean, it's not like fishing. It's more like bonding with your friends.
Oh, it definitely is. You know?
I mean, hey, what's going on? What are you doing? And it doesn't matter. You're not like one of those guys that, you know, hey, I got fish. I'm not going to tell you how I catch them.
Right. No, right. we all share information out there all the time because we all want to see each other succeed.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. And, you know, when Matt was out there, what was it, 2 years ago or last year, you came out and you were teaching a little kid how to fish.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there with Vern DeVore, and I was teaching an old man how to fish.
Yeah, I remember that.
A young man. Remember that?
Yep, that was over on Minnewashta.
Out on Minnewashta,
yep. And, I mean, we were just, it didn't matter what we were doing. We were just having so much fun. And that's what fishing brought us to, ice fishing and stuff like that.
Oh, it is. It's always fun to get out there. I think all of us, you made a good point there, all of us try to do that whenever we're out. We see somebody out there.
Yep.
You know, they might not have a Vexlar or something like that, so they're just out there, and it's always fun to, like, say, here, try this out once. You know, give it a shot, and just to see their reaction to the first time using that Vexlar is just like, it's like you can just see, like, a light bulb, and, like, a whole new world just opens up to them, and I guarantee a lot of times they're just like, yep, we're going to go down and get one of those.
Yep, and then their eyes bulge out like they're mesmerized by it, like watching a movie that they've never seen before. It's like watching Flash Gordon for the first time when you're 9 years old at a movie theater, at the state movie theater in Sioux Falls. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah,
that's how I feel when I see these kids or these people looking at, oh my God, I just caught a fish on that.
Yep.
You know, and their excitement is what I live for.
You know, you make a really good point there, Biggie, but if there's one thing I know about you, it's that you truly love to get out there and help people fish. Whether, whether you're walking around at the Dakota Angler Ice Institute and, you know, handing out some you know, Lake Effect lures, plastics or RBM or whatever they are, you know, you're handing those out or you're engaging with people and talking with young kids and whatever. What is it that makes you so passionate to do that? Is it the look on their face, or is it just, I don't know. You know, you take Mud Skipper out fishing with you. You know, Mud Skipper's dad passed away, and you've kind of taken him under your wing. I just, when I think about you and getting out there fishing, it just, I really feel like you're one of those guys that lives it. You know, you do get out there and help people as often as possible.
Yeah, I think it's just the love that I see the people that are doing something new or never done it before. I just think it's helping people out. You know, I'm a people person. I'm not, you know, I tinker here and there, but it's just the people. It's the conversations. My wife says I talk a lot. Well, the reason why I talk a lot is because I like hearing people's stories, because everybody's got a story to tell.
Yeah,
that's right.
And when you go fishing, you're creating stories, you're creating memories, and I like that. I like the fact that, you know, fishing in me when I was growing up, I remember, coming back, the stories we told all of our buddies when we got back home was like, hey, did you catch this one? Did you catch that one? Did you see this one that I caught? And it's just fun talking about it, but it's also the memories and the abilities that you can get out there and you can teach people, as well as create a new memory or a new story to bring them back to say, hey, I met this guy, but check this fish out, you know, or I learned something new. It's just so enlightening. It's just, I don't know. I guess God put me on the earth to help people, and if it's helping them fish and have fun fishing, I guess that's what I like doing.
Yeah. Well, as of right now, I'd say you're doing a good job.
Well, I try.
Yeah.
You know, what they say, you can't go fishing if you don't try.
Yeah.
That's right. I'll give you a lot of credit too. A lot of people always ask us about how they can get involved with Hooked on Hard Water and everything like that, and you put the rubber on the road and you drove out there just to help out any way you could. You told Craig, like, give me something to do. And I tell you what, I think that you might, between you and Dave Euler, you guys might be the best dang fish fryers on either side of the Mississippi River or Missouri.
Well, I didn't do any of the frying. I just did the handing out.
Well, you help out with all that stuff. And you keep everybody entertained, and the way you interact with the kids and everybody else out there, it's always fun.
Well, in the absence of Dave this year, I mean, your job was definitely more important this year.
Yeah. Nobody can fill Dave's shoes. I can't do that.
No, you can fill a lot of shoes, but you can't fill Dave Euler. Sorry, Biggie.
That's right. He's got those shoes. That's one shoe I do not want to fill, because he's got more room to grow, and I got room to see him grow more.
Well, that's exactly right.
Well, what do you got on the schedule for this open water season, Biggie?
Well, I'm right now scheduling. Right now, I got the boat running.
Yeah, saw that.
I got the old Bertha got running the other day.
You got any plans?
What's that?
You got any plans? Anything on the bucket list for the year?
I'm going to fish Okoboji. I'm going to do the walleye tournament. I got an FOV tournament. I'm going to fish Okoboji a lot more in the morning times than in the afternoons. That's why I got to get up earlier.
What tournament is that?
What's that walleye opener that you guys have?
Yeah, Walleye Weekend.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep, Walleye Weekend.
That Walleye Weekend, isn't that May 4th and 5th?
Yep.
That could be.
Catch one of them tagged walleyes.
Yep, I'm going to try that this year.
I think it's, what, 46
or $47,000
if you get it? Yeah.
No.
Yep, good change. Could use a new boat and a new, get some new float suit.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go. Need a new float suit.
No.
But we were talking about Okoboji. I'm sorry for bringing this back up, ice fishing. I just want to say that came to my mind that there's no better person that I met when I was ice fishing out there than Don Cox. When he was fishing the recycled fishing tournament, he did come up there, and I remember when all the boys were all young, he was out there, and his family came out there to watch him and stuff, and the kids came, and it was just fun to watch that. That's really what, you know, I'm not trying to steer you off the track, but when I start talking about fishing, Don Cox is the guy that I would say has a guy going on with fishing and talking.
That's for sure.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, I'm sorry. I got to give him kudos, because that did spark in my mind when I was talking. I was like, man, he pushed me in the right way. You know, when we were doing the Hooked on Hard Water, and I had so much fun one year, I sent everybody a thank you letter, and I think I gave you guys one.
I got one. Yep.
Yeah, and Cummings and some other guys and Don Cox, and he wrote me a letter back, and he said, thank you for everything you do, too. And I'm like, well, you know, you guys with the podcast, you guys, Don Cox with doing what he's done, Chad Cummings with what he's done, has really inspired me to even push me to do even better one of my fishing aspects.
Yep.
So,
no.
I just had to tell you about all that.
So. Yep. No, I don't think anyone's going to argue with you on that. Anyone who knows Don Cox knows that's one of the all-time greats right there.
Well, yeah, with Hooked on Hardwire, that's pushed me into a whole new realm of fishing and planning for the future for doing things with kids and getting out there and fishing more and just inspires. It inspires a person. So as far as my plans go, I plan to fish Okoboji a lot more. Got some FOP tournament that I'm doing in May. I want to get out there and fish in Michigan with the new rattle paddles that they got going on with RBM. I want to try those, get that out there, go trout fishing with Koski out in the Black Hills.
Yep.
For open water, since it's about that time of year, you know.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yep, it is.
You know, I mean, I don't know what you guys have got planned, but I hope to fish with you guys somewhat.
Oh, yeah.
I think we should do that. I was actually telling Matt, I want to try to catch some more walleyes this year.
Not just any walleyes.
Why, yeah.
Thick and mean
walleyes. Thick and mean walleyes. The yeah. Okoboji style.
Yeah. Well, those are lean and kind of mean.
No, they're not.
Hey, do you want to hear a secret I have about fishing?
Sure, if you tell it here, it's not going to be a secret anymore.
Well, yeah, I think I'm going to come out of the closet and say...
Holy biggie.
No, nothing like that.
This is the first year. Well, I guess we've had Ramrod on here, so...
I think a walleye perch bluegill fisherman wants to go fish some bass.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah,
everybody needs a little fight in their life.
Say, hey, I want to catch some bass.
Okay. Well, yeah, get ready. You're gonna have to put some new string on that pole, Biggie.
Leave the line counters at home.
String on the pole.
Yeah. Yeah, and the finesse. I'll leave the ultra lights at home. And
yeah, you better get a good night's rest so you can get prepared for that fight. Good thing you're drinking those protein shakes, because you'll be able to pull some bass in now.
Yeah, I've seen you guys look pretty stout for your bass fishing technique.
You got that right. Yeah, you right. got that right. We've got line on the rods. You've got string on the pole.
Oh, my goodness. I'll have to borrow a pole. I don't know.
Cane pole.
Cane pole?
That's right.
We're bass fishermen. We got plenty of fishing rods.
Yep.
Oh, my God, yeah.
No.
I'm going to tell my wife that I need to get a bass pole.
Not a bad idea.
Not
a bad
works.
Because a walleye one will not work. It'll snap that walleye rod in half.
You tell her you need a bass pole, she's going to be like, what'd you call me?
Yeah.
She's going to be like, that's what you are. Oh, hey, wait a minute, no.
We're not going to drag that one through the mud.
No, we're not going there. We're not going there.
Nope, we're not going to drag that one through the mud.
Nope. Well, Biggie, I don't think we really got a whole lot else to chat about. We appreciate you being on.
Oh, no, I appreciate you guys calling me. I was anxious to hear from you, and I was just like, yeah, I'll do it. Heck, I'm ready to say something I got to say.
Yep.
That's right.
Yep, you bet. So,
anything that... And just so everybody, all the listeners out there, is just like, if you have questions or whatever, give me a holler. I can talk about fishing any day of the week. The guys at work are getting sick of and tired of me talking about fishing.
So you need to talk to somebody else, huh?
Yeah, I need to talk to somebody. My wife says I talk too much about it.
Yep.
There's no such thing as talking about too much about it.
Well, all right.
Yeah.
Matt, I'll let you meet my wife.
All right, Biggie. We all appreciate right,
you. Oh, hey.
Hey, what?
Have a good night. Fish on, Donkey Kong. Love your guts.
That's right. All right. See you, man.
All right. See you later.
There goes our good buddy, Biggie Smalls. Good dude. Get them
headphones on.
That's right. Speaking of Biggie, if you follow Biggie at all on Facebook, you know Biggie's love for Freedom Brew.
He loves it.
He does love it. And that leads us to our... Freedom Brew, good news, stories of the week. And Matt, you want to start or you want me to go?
You know what? I will go first.
All right. Have at it.
I'm going to say, I just want to give a shout out to all the people that message us questions here.
Yeah.
You know, we try to answer as much as we possibly can and in a timely manner if we can do that. But, you know, sometimes we're pretty busy, things going on. But I get a lot of people that are messaging me a lot of times about questions. And, you know, we don't ever feel bad about asking us questions, or if you feel like you're asking a lot of questions. Just like Biggie said earlier, we love to talk fishing.
Yep.
So if we can, if we can't get back to you right away, like, we will eventually circle around there and talk with you about it. David Kelly, he's sending me a lot of messages, and I appreciate every one of those. I try to answer them as fast as I can. Lately, Mr. Alex Christensen over there, he's been asking questions about some of the plastics that he wants to pour. Truly appreciate, you know, that you guys are reaching out for us with questions sometimes, because it's still pretty, like, I don't know, we don't consider ourselves experts at anything, but
don't be asking me.
Right. It's pretty cool that you you guys value our opinion and you reach out to us. So keep doing that, and we'll keep trying to answer them the best that we can.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. My good news story this week is going to go out to a guy that I know listens to the podcast from time to time. That is Nathan Brown. Nathan lives down in the Council Bluffs, Iowa area, does a lot of tournament bass fishing and whatnot, but I was actually scrolling through Facebook, and the Anchor Inn Bait and Tackle Bait Shop had shared a deal from the Council Bluffs Skanner that had a couple pictures of a car that was in a lake. You could just barely see the roof, and the Anchor Inn Bait and Tackle's post said, "Want to take a minute to thank and recognize Nathan Brown for his bravery today as he sprung into action to save an elderly man's life as his car flipped and plunged into Lake Manawa this afternoon. Without hesitation, Nathan parked his truck, and instead of taking a video like a lot of people in today's society would do, he jumped in the water and pulled the man to safety." And actually, Nathan did end up even going back and commenting on there, and made the comment that the water was a little bit cold, 42 degrees, but he was just doing what anyone would do, and didn't have a choice. It was, you know, something that he had to do. Pretty freaking awesome. You know, There's badass people living among us that, you know, when things get Western, they get Western with it. So
that's right. That's no hesitation. That's really cool. I mean, like they said,
save the guy, I believe. So
yeah, like they said, a lot of people these days would rather pick up their phone and start videotaping things. But
gotta get it on Snapchat.
Right. Just to spring into action like that. Like, kudos to him. Like, way to go, man.
Heck yeah. So, yeah, I think that's our episode 258. I don't know if we...
So just make sure that, you know, if you do need some coffee, get over there to Freedom Brew. You know that?
Did I not even say that?
Well, we just talked about how big he likes the Freedom Brew, but...
And I just blew right into it, huh?
Yeah, that's all right. I got to catch you on that sometimes. Larchwood, Iowa.
I don't know if I just get so jacked up to tell my good news story or if I don't know, but...
Go see Austin and Brianna over there and get yourself some Freedom Brew.
Worth your drive from anywhere?
Worth your drive from everywhere.
From everywhere. Freedom Brew, Larchwood, Iowa. The best dang coffee shop, period.
It is.
I apologize for skipping right into the Freedom, or for the good news stories.
You're excited.
Must be. I don't know. I don't know what the heck's wrong with me. I don't know if we mentioned it last week. We had actually gotten a email from the Wisconsin DNR wanting to join the show. You know, from time to time, we do get some people that message us, and, you know, a lot of people that want to talk about their products and whatnot. And, you know, a lot of times I'm kind of hesitant on fielding those just because, you know, yeah, I guess we can turn into a show that, you know, just lets people tell you about their new products and whatnot. And some of them might be awesome. Some of them might be train wrecks, but, the Wisconsin DNR, apparently they want us to do an episode where we interview a game warden just about, some of the myths around game wardens, you know, some wild stories from the field. So I don't know. We emailed back and kind of chatting with them about that. And so I do think here in the next week or two, we will end up having a game warden with the Wisconsin DNR. Kind of looking forward to that. Something different that we've never really done. Obviously, with the state government side, we've had some fisheries biologists and, you know, talked about You know, collecting of walleye eggs and you know, mock and tune with that end. But kind of, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what these guys got to say. So, yeah, like I said, that should be coming down the pipe. But otherwise, we'll call that an end to episode 258. We appreciate every single one of you. We'll see you next week on episode 259.
Later.